Good morning, everyone. Today's sermon is about overcoming failure. And this is one of those Bible stories that really brings it to light. Just to fill you in on the picture and the time frame, Jesus was crucified, died, buried, and rose again. And this is happening in the 40 days after his death. So it's John chapter 21, verses 1 to 22. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, do you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, probably about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you." Jesus then said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple who Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Amen.
Thank you, Mike, for that reading. So there are certain smells that are very evocative. So to me, if I smell the smell of freshly cut grass, it evokes for me summer and picnics, school sports days. But there's other smells too, aren't there? Like baked freshly baked bread or the smell of coffee brewing. And another smell that is very evocative for me is sun cream. Whenever I smell sun cream, I'm immediately taken to the poolside on holidays or being on the beach. Smells can sort of transport us to another place. Certain smells connect with memories. They take us back to how it felt to be in that moment. We're not just reminded of the smell, we're reminded of how it felt to be in that moment in the past. Well, in this morning's passage, the risen Jesus meets the disciples by the lake and he lights a fire in order to cook breakfast for the disciples. Now, for Peter, the smell of the fire will have evoked a memory, but it wouldn't have been a fond memory. It wouldn't have been a good memory. The last time Peter was by a fire was the evening that Jesus was arrested. That evening, Peter had gone from promising to lay down his life for Jesus to denying that he even knew him. And to make things worse, Peter denied not knowing Jesus, not once or twice, but three times. Three times he denied even knowing Jesus. And these three denials happen as Peter is warming himself by a fire. The smell of the fire would have been filling his nostrils as his heart was filling with shame and regret and remorse. It must have been such a deep sense of failure for Peter. For Peter was not just a disciple. Peter was the disciple. He was Jesus' closest friend. And here he was on the beach with Jesus, with that smell of the fire, taking him right back to that terrible moment. All that regret and remorse and shame was washing over him again. Failure can stick around and linger like a bad smell, especially, I think, when it's failure within a relationship, when we've let somebody down, particularly if it's somebody that we care about. The painful moment becomes a painful wound that can last for years. It clings to our deeper self, regret, remorse, and shame. The failure of a moment can become a label or an identity. So I failed can easily become I am a failure. We end up thinking that's who we are rather than that's something that we've done. So Jesus lights a fire. He wants to take Peter back to that moment of failure. But he doesn't do that because he wants to rub Peter's nose in it. No, he doesn't do that to make sure that Peter feels really bad for the ways that he's messed up. No, Jesus wants to set Peter free from his identity with failure and affirm him or reaffirm him in his calling and his vocation as a leader and as a servant, as the shepherd of God's people. Jesus wants to walk Peter through reconciliation and forgiveness. Forgiveness is central to the Christian faith. At the heart of Jesus's message is forgiveness. The whole purpose of Jesus's death on the cross and resurrection is forgiveness. To set us free from the consequences of the ways that we have messed up and the ways that we have missed the mark. And we call this sin. But why is forgiveness so important? Well, I think it's because forgiveness is a key part of love. God is all about love. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is love. We tend to think about love as something soft and fluffy. Valentine's Day cards, flowers, romance. But that's only a very small part of what love is. If you've been in any kind of relationship for longer than, say, a few weeks, you'll know that love is about so much more than these romantic gestures or feelings. Love takes commitment and trust and effort. And if you want a relationship to have any kind of depth or meaning, then you're going to have to get very good at forgiving people and being forgiven. As Jesus was taken away to trial before his crucifixion, Peter is asked three times, "Do you know this Jesus? Are you one of the disciples?" And each time, Peter denies being a disciple and denies knowing Jesus. And now, by the lake, a few days later, Jesus asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Now, Jesus knows that Peter loves him. So Jesus isn't asking for his own benefit. Jesus is asking Peter because Jesus knows that for Peter to receive forgiveness and to forgive himself, Peter needs to speak out the truth of his love for Jesus. He needs to hear himself say it. Peter needs to hear himself say, "Yes, I love you, Jesus. I know I've messed up. I know I've made huge mistakes. But yes, I do love you." And he needs to hear this not just once or twice, but three times. He needs to be reaffirmed in his calling, to know that he is not defined by his past mistakes. See, relationship with Jesus is not based on not having sinned and messed up. Being in relationship with Jesus is not reserved for those who are perfect. Relationship with Jesus is based on love. And at the heart of love is forgiveness. The road to Peter experiencing forgiveness is to be reminded of his love for Jesus, to be reminded that, yes, he does love Jesus deep down. Love does not mean never making a mistake. Love means facing our mistakes and getting back on track, receiving forgiveness and being reconciled in relationship. We've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. It's part of being human. But we do not need to be defined by our mistakes. You may have failed, but you are not a failure. Jesus comes to us offering forgiveness. He wants to set us free from our hang-ups, from our regrets, and from our mistakes. And he does this through love. The great act of love on the cross, dying to set us free. And we receive and know that forgiveness by saying yes to his question. We respond to his love for us with love for him. Do you love me? Asks Jesus. The God who made us and knows us, who gives us all good things, who gives us our very breath, who died to save us, asks, do you love me? He wants us to answer the question so that we can know that we are fully accepted and loved, so that we can know that our mistakes and our mess ups are forgiven and that they don't define us, so that we can learn to forgive others and also learn to forgive ourselves. This is the way of love. This is the way of God. Jesus asks us, do you love me? Do you want to be set free, redeemed, restored, accepted and loved? Do you love me? He is asking you that question. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing passage from the Gospels. We thank you that it speaks to us about what it means to be human. The fact that while we may have great intentions and we can be very passionate about things, we can also mess up and make mistakes. That our feelings come and go, our emotions come and go. But we thank you, Lord, that you are always faithful. We thank you that you are always ready to forgive. In fact, you're longing for us to come back to you and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've messed up. And I thank you, Lord, that you do that not just as a way of managing our sin, but you do that in the context of relationship. You do that because you love us. So for any of us this morning who are feeling like we have mistakes in our past, whether recent or a long time in the past, and we feel like we can't be forgiven, or we feel like we can't forgive ourselves, Lord, I pray that you'd take us on that journey. You'd walk with us along the beach and you'd ask us that simple question. Do you love me? And that as you ask us that question, we would know in our hearts the deep love that you have for us. And that because of that deep love that you have shown us, we can but respond, yes, I love you. And for those who struggle with that question, we thank you, God, that you talk about the mustard seed. It doesn't have to be a great, overwhelming feeling of joy and celebration. That sometimes it can just be a mustard seed. Just enough to say, yes, I want to. I want to say yes to you, Lord. Now pray for those people that that mustard seed would grow over the days and weeks and months and years. That it would grow deep roots. That each of us would know that we are loved. We are loved. That we're accepted and that we're forgiven. And help us, Lord, to, as we are forgiven, learn how to forgive others. That we could share your love in the world with acts of kindness and mercy. Amen. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.